Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We are continuing the sermon today in Psalm 51, and the scripture is coming from the English Standard Version, and we will resume the study in verse 3, and we will continue on from verses 3 through 10, and I will read those verses once again from the English Standard Version. And it reads, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And once again, we are reiterating David's desire, and that is his desire for a clean heart and a right spirit. And this is where we started out in verse 10, working our way back from David's desire as expressed in verse 10 and starting from verse 1 to really speak about how David addresses his need and his desire and his root problem, that which hinders and causes separation with regard to his relationship with God. And that's what sin does. And this is what David is dealing with. This is not a permanent separation, but this is separation in the sense that sin is always an obstacle. Sin is always a problem as it relates to our relationship with God. And this must first and foremost be addressed before we have any inclination, any desire to move on in our relationship with God. We must first address sin. And this is why the message that we hear in the New Testament from our Lord Jesus Christ is first to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That is, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is present, and that presence of the kingdom of God is in Jesus Christ. And yet still the nearness of the kingdom of God is the kingdom of God to come, as our Lord Jesus said when teaching the disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come." And so this is what we consider as we look at David's relationship with God and David's approach to sin, and really David's desire for a clean heart and a right spirit. And it's important for us to understand that this desire is not some random desire, like on a wish list, the top 10 things that you wish for. This is first and foremost the only thing that David desires in order for him to be right with God. And the only way to be right with God is to have a clean heart and a right spirit. And this is, again, what we are emphasizing here in the 51st Psalm, David's desire for a clean heart and a right spirit. So again, we looked at verse 10. We worked our way back up, starting from verses 1 and 2, where we looked at David's need, his need for mercy, according to the steadfast love of God. And we spoke about what David spoke of in relation to God's mercy is to be cleansed and to be washed. And all of this is God's work. God's work is what I call an inside job. This is God working in David and David's desire for God to do the work that only God can do in him. And when we speak of the heart and the spirit, that's God's territory. This is where God does his work from the inside out. And once again, it is an inside job. And for us to be right with God, it requires an inside job. And the only one capable and qualified for this inside job is God himself. So this is David's desire, God's work in him. We talked about what is expressed in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, the words of the Apostle Paul that he had communicated regarding God working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And we spoke again about what only God can do, the activity of God. God is active in us for us to desire or to be determined to be active in that which is pleasing to God, and that is to be engaged in the work that is pleasing to God, to be active in terms of pleasing God. And every Christian, I always say, is gainfully employed in terms of pleasing God. And this is what our preoccupation must be. Our preoccupation must be pleasing God. But if God is not working in you, then you're just busy. If God is in you, then you're actively involved in the work that pleases God. So that's something for us to consider. But David moves on as he spoke about his desire and looked at his need and called out for the mercy of God to wash David and to cleanse David. And David then addressed his root problem, and he spoke of his transgressions and his iniquity, of his sin, that he had sinned and done evil. And he speaks of this in verses 1 through 5 and verse 9. And again, we talked about the root problem. And this is the root problem that God addresses. The issue is sin. The relationship between God and man that is in desperate need of repair was broken by sin. And this continues to be the case today. And the root problem is always sin. And so we must address the root problem. You cannot be made better without addressing your sin problem. And you cannot be made better apart from the work of God in you. God has to do his work in you, but you've got to desire it. You've got to desire it, and you won't desire it unless you recognize your need, the mercy of God, and you understand that you have a root problem, which is sin. So you've got to understand that. We've got to understand this. And David understands it. And that's what makes this psalm so beautiful, is that in the midst of sin and despite his sin, and I can say rather than despite his sin, but because of his sin, he recognizes his need for God and the work that only God can do in him. And then David, as we look at verse 3, David really addresses his recognition of his problem. And this is where we left off, speaking of David's words, where he says, "I know my transgressions," in verse 3 here, "and my sin is ever before me." This is recognition. And when we consider recognition, what this is pointing to, when David speaks of knowing his transgressions or acknowledging his transgressions, and this speaks to when he speaks of his transgressions, he is speaking to his rebellion against God. And this is what this is. This is a revolt. This is a full-blown revolt against God. "I know that I have tried to break away from you. I know that I have gone against you. I know that I have offended you." And this is David speaking to God. "I know this." And when we speak of recognition, we speak of the observation, or a word that's communicated caring? Do you even care that you've offended God? Do you even care that you have a quarrel, or you're trying to quarrel against God, that you're trying to break away from God, that you are revolting against God? Have you come to the conclusion, or have you now recognized, or do you now know and acknowledge that you have offended God? Is your sin before you? Is your sin in front of you for you to realize and recognize and understand that you have offended God? You're an offender. You're guilty. And the only way out of this guilt is the approach that David takes. And that is, again, the desire for a clean heart and a right spirit, the need for God's mercy, addressing the root problem, which is sin, and recognizing that you're guilty. It's not somebody else's fault, it's yours. It's not somebody else's fault, it's mine. You know, we have to realize that we've got to own our sin. When we talk about ascertaining by seeing, and this is what it means to acknowledge or to recognize our sin, it's to ascertain by seeing. The evidence is right before us. The evidence is in us. We know how we operate. We know that. And what's interesting is not only do we know, but God knows, and that's why he calls us what we are. Apart from God, we are sinners, and apart from God, we are lost sinners. Not that there's anything different between the two. And that is, to be lost is to be a sinner. To be a sinner is to be lost. And in this case, I call your attention to the fact that oftentimes we ascertain or observe or care about everybody else's sin, but we don't care about our own. It has come to our attention that somebody else has sinned, but has it come to our attention that we have sinned? We can call out everybody else who has fallen short and who falls short, and yet oftentimes we're not sensitive and we don't care, and we have not, it hasn't come to our attention that we have indeed offended God. And this is something that we must recognize, and this is what David does again as he confesses and acknowledges in verse 3, I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Our sin is ever before us unless God wipes it away. And this is what David is speaking to. This is why he recognizes it's been brought to his attention. It has literally been brought to his attention as the prophet Nathan confronted David about his sin. And Nathan is a messenger of God. And this is what the messengers of God do, is they bring to your attention offenses against God. Bring to your attention rebellion against God. And the messenger of God must be faithful to God. And to have your heart broken for the sake of restoration with God is a worthwhile heartbreak. Let me put it that way. We need more hurt feelings as it relates to pleasing God. Break my heart in order for my heart to be restored, in order for me to serve, to please, to worship, to love God. We are too interested in self-preservation, and we are not interested enough in brokenness and self-denial. And David recognizes that it is his transgression, it is his rebellion, it is his offenses against God, and his sin is ever before him. This is his problem. And he recognizes his problem. And then when we look to at verse 5, we see that David gives his confession. So we've worked our way back from verse 10, speaking of David's desire for a clean heart and a right spirit, and we look at him express his need in verses 1 and 2, and then how he addresses the root problem in verses 1 through 5 and verse 9. And then we look at the recognition of his sin from himself, by himself in verse 3. But it has been brought to his attention. And so he understands, he is aware, he has ascertained by seeing and having the prophet Nathan bring it to his attention. And he cares. The prophet cares in addressing David and confronting David. David cares in his response to the prophet. And they all care in relation to God. God is the one who makes us sensitive to our offenses. And you cannot care, and that is doom, death, and destruction. Or you can care, and that is salvation and eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, the promised Messiah, the promised Savior, who, by the way, comes through the line of David according to God's promise to David. So what can God do with a sinner? God can forgive and give an eternal promise of life. Of kingdom life, of heavenly kingdom life. And this is David's destiny according to God. And so this is the path that David is on as he confesses in verses 4 through 6, where David says, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." This is a confession. I've worked and rebelled against you, is what David is saying to God. I've sinned against you. I've offended you and done what is wicked, what is bad in your sight. Before you, God knows. God sees. God cares. We often speak of God caring only about our problems. But God cares about our sin. He cares so much about our sin that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So he takes us from condemnation to justification through repentance from sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And David says, "I know that it's against you that I've sinned and done what is evil in your sight." God sees, and this is what moves God to forgiveness, is that God sees and God knows that we know, and we respond to how God addresses our lost condition, our sinful condition. And David responds with confession. He acknowledges and he confesses that he has offended God and done what is bad in the sight of God. He's concerned with God's judgment. He is concerned with God's judgment. It's amazing how flippant we are when it comes to the judgment of God. And David says in relation to this, again in verse 4 from the English Standard Version, "So that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment." That is, God is right in what he declares and what he says and what he concludes, and he is blameless in his pronouncement of judgment, his sentence. How God judges our offenses. And this is where the rub is for the natural man, is that he thinks that he is above God's judgment and he has no concern about God's judgment. He is left to himself. He is full of himself. He is in love with himself and he has no other concerns apart from himself. And so therefore he has no concerns with what God thinks of him and his natural state, which is a state of lostness, hopelessness, and sin. And this is why David says, "I've sinned against you. I know that I've sinned against you. I confess that I've done what is evil in your sight, God, so that when you speak, when you judge that you are right and I am confessing, I am not justifying you, I am acknowledging that you are just and justified. God does the justifying, we do the confessing. So David is not justifying God, he is acknowledging that God is just and that all that God does is right. And when we look at our condition and when God pronounces the sentence for sin, then we know that God is right or just in his verdict. And what we have to look at is the mercy that God offers now, the love that God shows to cover our sin and therefore to forgive our sins. And this is what David takes advantage of. The only thing that David can brag about, the only thing that any sinner can brag about is the mercy of God and the love of God, the forgiveness that God gives to a lost, hopeless sinner who, apart from God, remains lost and hopeless. And you don't get to render your own verdict concerning yourself because there's one judge and he is Lord. And God has appointed his son, Jesus Christ, as the scripture says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You will find this in Romans chapter 14, verse 10. You will find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. You've got to stand before Jesus. You can come up with anything that you want to put in your mind to justify yourself, but you are not thereby justified. You're just giving your opinion about you. But you've got to stand before God. You've got to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and the righteous judge will render a righteous verdict. And if you have not confessed your sins to God, if you have not acknowledged that you have offended God, that you are rebelling against God, that you have a root problem that you cannot cure yourself, that you are hopeless apart from God, then you are lost in sin as a sinner. And there is nothing promised to you but death and destruction. I don't care how high you call yourself living in this life, apart from God, you are living in the lowest of lows. But God has mercy and love for you. And you're a fool to dismiss the mercy and love of God in order to justify yourself when there's only one who is qualified to forgive your sins and to justify you. And he's done all the work and just tells you to come. He tells you to come. Come to him. Come to him through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. Turn from the sins and the madness and the darkness of this lost and dying world. Desire a clean heart and a right spirit. And this is what David is doing when he confesses here. And he says in verse 5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. This is the evil or the penalty or the crime that I'm born under. I'm born into a criminal family. I'm born into a criminal generation. Listen, you can talk about everything else that rich folks inherit, but the one thing that you can be sure they inherited is they inherited sin. Rich, poor, every man, woman, boy, and girl, we have inherited sin. We are under the penalty of sin. We are criminals from the womb. And yet the Lord has made a way through his son, Jesus Christ. I'm brought forth in iniquity, David says, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I have no justification in the presence of God except for the mercy of God. And that's anybody. And David goes on to say in his confession Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. And again, this is the trustworthiness, the faithfulness, the sureness according to our inward being, and the wisdom that the Lord teaches to those who desire him, to those who seek him. The Lord delights in this. He delights in truth. We're unstable. And we find ourselves untrustworthy because we're wayward. We stray. And this is what David addresses when he says the Lord delights in truth, not in hiding and covering up sin. God does the covering up, but he does it with his blood. He does it righteously. He does it in a way that is pleasing to him. And he teaches. So he delights in that which he desires, and he instructs us according to the inner workings of our heart. And that's what God delights in. That's where the work is done. The real work is in the heart. The real work is in the inner man, the inner person. You can't hide sin from God. So God will not delight in the outward appearance. God delights in the inward truth. We've got to be firm. We've got to be faithful. We've got to be established according to truth, according to godliness, according to what pleases God. And this is what David says. This is what God delights in. Are you stable? Are you stable according to your inner man? Are you trustworthy? Are you faithful? Are you established in God, which can only happen for us through Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ establishes us. He secures us. He makes us sure and firm because he is the solid rock. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And as he says, no one comes to the Father except by him. This is what pleases God. This is what God desires. This is the work that God does. But you've got to confess this truth. Confess your sin and confess that you understand that you were born under this penalty. You were born a spiritual criminal. And you know that God delights in truth and not in deception. That he will teach you the wisdom according to your inner person. This is David's confession in verses 4-6. So he has given his desire. He has expressed his desire in verse 10 and called out to God according to his need in verses 1-2 and acknowledge or called his root problem, what it is, in verses 1-5 and verse 9. And he's acknowledged or recognized. He's given recognition of his transgressions and his sin in verse 3. And he's given his confession in verses 4-6. He knows that he's offended God. He knows that it's against God that he sinned. And he knows what God desires and what God delights in. And David knows that he's fallen short. And that's his confession. So we'll leave off here for today. Lord willing, we will pick up in verse 7 and finish up in verses 7-10 when we meet again, if the Lord says the same. But until then, remember to tell somebody how sweet it is to trust in Jesus. God bless you.